Well, it's good to see everyone. Glad you're here. My name is Pastor Ian, as you all know. If you're online, great to see you. But we're going to be continuing this morning in our series that we're doing for, it's about 10 weeks. We're going to be doing this up until Advent this year. And it's this series, Why Me? Why Them? And we're asking ourselves and talking about, why me? Why does God choose me? Why does God love me? Why does God want this relationship with me? Why me? And then we continue that question and say, why them? Why is God asking us to go out into the world? Why is God asking us to go and reach the community around us with the gospel? Why has He called us to go and speak to people for Him? And why them? Why the community? Why the people that don't know Christ in their heart yet? Why the people who have fallen away and said, I was forced to do this as a kid, but I don't believe in it now as an adult? Why is God calling us to reach them? And that's what we're striving to do during this series, is just open that up and speak to that. So if you have your Bibles this morning, once again, we are in Ephesians, but we're going to be in Ephesians 2 this week. Verses 8 through 10, if you guys don't know, that's my favorite verse in the Bible. Actually, that is a verse that I knew, memorized, before I became Christian, ironically. I was not a Christian, but I was sent to Awana as a kid. And that's just, for whatever reason, that is the verse that has stuck in my brain since about the age of, let's say, 9 or 10, for whatever reason. Now that I'm a Christian and a believer, I see why God put that in my mind. I see how He used that in my life. So it's exciting for me to unpack it and talk to you about it. But last week we looked at Ephesians 1 and that we were chosen before the world and we had a purpose through God in our lives. Once we accept Christ into our hearts and we see that He has wanted this relationship with us, He loves us and desires us, we are then able and should be obedient in fulfilling the mission of Jesus Christ in our lives, which is to seek and save the lost. We talked last week about when we truly love someone, their desires become ours, right? My desires of my children is to see them fulfill their dreams. My desire in my marriage is to see my wife flourish in her career, in her spirituality. And it's my job as the man of the house, as the father, to speak to them, be with them, share with them. But the mission of Christ, when we say we love the Lord, then His mission should become ours as well. We love Him so much, we're like, what can we do to show our love and affection for Jesus Christ in our lives? And the best way we can do that is to fulfill the mission of Christ, which is to seek and save the lost. And that is magical. It's beautiful to know that we have the ability to do that, that God has given us the tools, the abilities to go and share the gospel with them. And we also have Jesus Christ who came and pretty much was like, not hard. It's relational. It's being with people. It's showing through your own actions how to love God and showing how much God loves us through our life. But have you ever stopped and asked yourself, why did God choose to save me? Or perhaps, maybe if we're being a little honest, why did God choose to save that person? Why? We're being honest, right? Let's be honest here. And it's a question that probably crosses our mind that's natural. Why? I mean, I think that's one of the first, other than a child learning mama, dada, or however rich phrase you want to say it, One of the next words that any child learns is why. It comes up a lot in my household. They're not in here and they don't watch the service afterwards, I know. So I'm going to say it. But anything I say to them, why? Because I said so. But we always have, like, we have this desire to always know and ask, why? Why? Why do I got to go to work? Why do I got to wake up when the alarm goes off? Why do I got to stop at this stop sign? Who made that rule? Why do I got to go 65 in a 65? California, that's kind of a loose number. It's just the flow of traffic. I follow the speed limit to make sure that I don't get rear-ended and to make sure that I don't get in trouble. But why? It's just a natural question. So why did God choose us? Why did God ask us to go to them? And last week we kind of unpacked it and talked about it, and because God loves us. He loves us and desires a relationship with us. Sent his one and only Son to save us and gives us that choice to accept him into our hearts. It's that free gift that we can receive. So when we ask ourselves, why me? It's because God loves you and desires a relationship with you when you're ready. He's already waiting. And why them? Because God loves them too. Came to seek and save the lost. And I don't know if you've looked around. We all are pretty lost. But this morning, let's dive into Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 8 through 10 this morning. We're really going to just stay around this verse. So it starts with, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So the first point this morning, why me? Saved by grace. That's why. We are reminded that salvation is through grace alone, through faith in Jesus Christ. So it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved." And that's true. For it is by grace you have been saved. By the grace of God, God's willingness to say, I am going to make a way for them. I am going to send my Son to them to live for them, to live a holy and blameless life, to then die on a cross, to carry the burdens of their sin, to be forgiven, to die for us, to be buried, but to be raised again, to conquer death so that it no longer has that hold on us. And it's because of God's grace, his love for us is the reason why. But it doesn't stop there. Because there's a comma, not a period, it's a comma. It's a breath. Through faith. So yes, you are saved by grace if you choose to live in faith. If you choose Jesus Christ into your life. There's an action step. Right? With what is that saying? I'm not very school-y. See, I make up my own words. For every action, there is a reaction, right? So for this action that God has done, this action that Christ has taken on the cross, there is a reaction that needs to be taken. It's like we're entering this fall time. So I'm going to jump forward to Christmas because beyond Halloween and all that stuff, I love Halloween, by the way. But I love Christmas. And I just love that festive feeling. But just imagine right now, if we were standing here, and let's just say this is your Christmas gift. Oh, my page folded. No. That's going to have a crease. Oh, no. But just imagine this is a gift from under the tree, okay? Let's just picture this is a box. It's free. What do you do? Take it, right? It's free. You can have it. But what do you have to do? Receive it. Take it. You have to come get it. You can pass by everything in your life. Free coffee, free this, free whatever. Oh, that's great. And you just drive by. It's free. But in order for you to benefit from it, in order for you to have that free gift, you need to receive it and take it and cherish it. Imagine if we all sat there on Christmas and there's all these gifts under the tree and it's like, hey kids, those are all free. And they're like, great. But they don't unpack them. And they just stay under the tree, pretty in their wrapping with their bows. They're still free to them. I mean, the parents paid. But if it's free, you need to take it. So we receive through faith the grace that God has given us. So for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. You have to accept Christ. It is a gift given to us from His abounding love and mercy. So when someone thinks to themselves, why me? It's because it is a gift from God. And all God is asking in return is that you take it, receive it for yourself, but then share it with the world around you. So we are guided by His glory because of our salvation that was paid at the cost of Christ in our life. But we have to also understand that this is not based on us. It's not based on our own works, our own abilities, but on God's grace. There's nothing that we can do in life to earn our way into God's grace. Instead of saying, you know what, I don't want this, I don't want to receive this gift, I don't want to accept Jesus Christ, what I'm going to do instead is just pay for it, and I'm going to just do good things in my life. It's not how it works. There's no amount of things that you can do. You can be Mother Teresa, but there's no amount of physical things that you can do in your life that is going to pay that debt that was paid on the cross for your sins. So it is not by the work that you do. It's by the grace of God through His pain and suffering that you are saved. And then it's by the faith of you believing in a Lord and Savior who has done that for you, how you receive that gift. But that is also why We need to receive it. Humans have a tendency to want to show people how good they do, right? And it's gotten worse over the internet and cell phones and social media. People show, look at the car I have, look at the house I have, look at like this pile of money I have, look at what I've done in my life. But all of that is meaningless. That amounts to nothing. Imagine if we all said, look at what you have. Yeah, you have that, but look at what I have. And all it is just a picture of Christ on the cross. Be like, compete with that. You won't come close. But a lot of time, people are trying to show what they have done through their effort, through their abilities. But it's because of God that we have that. It's because of what God has done in our life through Jesus Christ that we have that. So now we use our abilities to live for Him. So He didn't want our sinful life to put us in a position to fall into sin through need. Instead, He wanted us to receive the grace given. He wanted us to humbly receive God's grace and be grateful for this undeserved gift that we have received through Jesus Christ. So why me? Is because He loves me. God loves me. God has given me a free gift. If I accept Him, God has given me the ability to accept this free gift if I accept Him into my heart. But you have to accept the free gift. You have to ask Him into your heart. And then it still doesn't stop there. Because then it goes to why them? Who here has ever received something that they thought was the coolest thing in the world? Yeah, we all did, right? What is the first thing you did? Showed somebody. Told somebody, right? Can you contain it? You receive, you're like, oh my gosh, look at what I got. Christmas morning or birthdays or something like that. You show your friends, you're like, look. You want to show people the things that you take pride in. If you really want to know somebody, if you really want to know someone's character, pay attention to what they show value in. What are they showing you? What is what means the most to them? Is it themselves? Is it their car? Is it their material possessions? Is it their wealth? Maybe it's their grass. Maybe they're one of those people, get off my lawn. But what people take pride in shows the character that they have. And I would hope, I would pray that if you call yourself a Christian, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, that you take pride in sharing the name of Jesus Christ with those around you. And you take pride in living this life that shows the love of Christ to others. Now, are we going to make mistakes? Of course. Are we all sinners? Yes. We didn't magically get extra on our own. It's through Christ that we are complete. I'm still just as broken. I'm still the same, but it's through Christ who has made me whole. It's through Christ and that relationship that has made me a full and has filled that void in my life. But if I'm not careful, that sinful nature, that void comes out. And I'm human. I have faults. I've had to learn. I've had to keep my mouth shut. I've had to keep my hands on 10 and 2. I've had to learn. Do I still mess up? Of course. But the difference between me messing up now and the difference in me messing up when I didn't know Christ is not me. It's God. Because when I didn't know Christ and I messed up, I was just like, ugh. Shouldn't have done that. Then I go on. But now when I mess up, I'm like, Lord, please take this from me. I'm sorry. Help guide me in my life. Help me live a different way. So it's through this, as we call it in the Wesleyan Church, progressive sanctification. It's this process that we go through that we strive to become closer to God through our ability and our understanding. We learn, we take the Word of God, we read it, we bring it in, we apply it to our life, we go out, we make mistakes, we say, sorry, let's try that again. Now, I still have a long way to go. I think we all would have a long way to go. But you can ask my wife, don't ask her, it'd be rude. But you could ask her who I was 15 years ago at the beginning of our marriage. I am not the guy that stood here today, that stands right here. If I am the guy that was 15 years ago, still today, I wouldn't have my wife. Guaranteed. Trust me. But it's a progression. And that's what you should strive for, to progress, to living for God. So when you ask God into your heart and you say, why me? Because God loves me. You're like, great. I do want to receive this gift. I do want you in my heart. And if you kind of say, why, what now? What do I do now? You live, you grow, you learn. And that passion you have for Christ who has saved you points you to why them? Because we're not only saved by God's grace, but we're also created in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, to do good works and live out the example to others in the same way that he did. So for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Jesus Christ did it all. He paid the way. No one can say, look what I did to receive this. We're all in the same boat. It's a free gift. You can't be like, oh, look at what I did throughout my life to earn this. No. Because that debt was already paid. But what you can do in your life is those same things that people would say, look what I've done. Look what I've done to receive this. Change your verbiage a little bit. Look at what I'm allowed and able to do to show the love of Christ that was shown to me. Same works, different purpose. To show Christ, to show the love of Christ to the world. So as believers, we have a purpose in Christ, and God has a plan for us, and he has prepared good works for us to do in obedience to him. And we're all unique, created different, with different abilities and gifts to share the gospel with others. We're all part of one body in Christ, and Christ is the head. But does a foot do the same as a hand? Be kind of weird, right? So what is your gift? What has God called you to do in your life? What is something unique that God has created you for that you have the ability to use to reach others in your life. And I'm going to be honest, sometimes it's hard to accept what God has, where you've come from, what you've been through, the things that you've experienced in life before knowing Christ and even after knowing Christ. Sometimes it's hard, but it also gives you a unique ability to speak into that, into other people's lives in a situation that they may be in and they don't know Christ. We live in an unfair world. We live in a sinful world. And that's not going to go away until Christ comes and returns and takes that away. But until then, we're called to use our gifts for Him. And who knows? Maybe you're an artist. And you like to draw. You like to do things. And before Christ, you're like, oh, these are just doodles. Well, I've seen a lot of cool things happen on TV and children's books to share the gospel. Maybe you're a musician and you played in a like crazy heavy metal band. Nothing against that, I guess, but ooh. But now you say, what do I do? How do I use this gift? Use it to praise and worship God. What are you uniquely created for? So ask yourself, what are you good at? What do you have this ability that you can use? And just say, how can I use this to glorify God? How can I use what God has given me ability to do to glorify God? Something that I enjoy to do, that I don't get to do as much anymore, but I was a mechanic before stepping into full-time ministry. And I have numerous people that have come and said, hey, I have this problem. Bring it over. I'll see what I can do. I've fixed cars. And the way I think about it is I don't want anything in return. I'm just doing it because God has given me this ability and I would like to share it with somebody. But what does God know about you? What do you know that you can do to serve the community around you? So, and also when we think about what is our purpose, don't let comparison to others put your purpose down and make you feel inadequate. Because we are all created to do good works for Christ. And instead, we should embrace our uniqueness and use the gifts to serve Him faithfully, knowing that we are created for this purpose in Christ Jesus. And that points us to our last point this morning. We are God's handiwork. And that's kind of a combination. Why me? Why them? We're not only saved by grace and created for a purpose, but we are God's handiwork. This means that God takes delight in who we are. You are not a mistake. You are not insignificant. God created you with His hands to be you for a purpose. And finding that purpose is going to fulfill and help you find joy in your life and find a purpose. But we have to seek it. Ask God, what am I here for? But in order to do that, in order to ask these questions, in order to serve the Lord in your life, you have to take the step first and receive the free gift from Christ. Because He intentionally made you and He loves you. He sculpted you for a purpose. And you have the ability to come to Him and fulfill that purpose in your life if you choose to. So it is for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works so that no one can boast. We are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So this morning when we leave and we go out to lunch, go home, go to work, whatever you're doing, remember that you are created for a purpose. You have been saved because Jesus Christ lived his life, died on the cross, and rose again on the third day, giving you this gift that you can truly receive if you want it. So why me? Because God truly loves me and wants a relationship with me through Jesus Christ. And why them? Because God created us to do good works, prepared in advance for us to do, to show us through Jesus Christ the example, to show others in the world who Jesus Christ is through us. So as we know, we say it a lot at Antioch Wesleyan Church, our mission is to love God, love people, reach the world. And we do this by reaching the community around us. I'm going to invite the worship team up right now. We want to fulfill this mission of Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost by showing them who Jesus Christ is. So the questions: how are you living? How are you representing God in your life? How are you loving others? And how are you reaching the community around you? These are all questions that we need to ask ourselves. And ask God, how can I fulfill this role to fulfill the mission in your life? Fulfill the mission that you lived out, that you are asking us to share with others. God loves you. And God wants that relationship with you. And when you accept Christ into your heart, God wants you to share that love with others, to share your abilities with others, to show who Christ is in your life so they can see Christ living for them. Let's pray.